Justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith covers each of these teachings in the new third edition of his book, The Spirituality of the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and the...
There is this up and down, this good and bad, this rebellious and obedient, faithful wave that runs through the ancient kings of Israel and Judah in the Old Testament. There are some high points, some attempts at reform. One of those is done by a young King Josiah in 2 Kings 22 and following. He finds, or someone, the high priest finds, the book of the law, and it is read to the young king, and he is penitent. He tears his clothes. Why is that? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. Today, King Josiah in 2 Kings 22. Pastor Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What was the state of affairs religiously there in Judah when Josiah became king?
I found your previous program very interesting about the state of affairs in Germany, where in the Roman Catholic Church, there are congregations that are just going against the Bible in all kinds of areas. And this was very similar to what was happening at the time of Josiah. In fact, the northern kingdoms of Israel had already been taken into captivity in 722 BC by the Assyrians because of their worship of idols, and they're really doing horrible things against God's will. And now we're talking about Josiah in Judah. That's the southern kingdom, Jerusalem. And they're also going to be taken into captivity in 586 BC. However, during this time, Josiah is a very faithful king. In fact, what it says about him is that he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and then verse 2 of chapter 22 says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Now, last week we talked about Hezekiah, who was another faithful king, but they were of the few faithful kings in both Israel and Judah. And so when Josiah came to reign in Judah, the two kings previous to him, the one was Manasseh, and boy, he was very idolatry. And then Amon reigned in Judah, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then comes Josiah, his son of Uzzah. And he's only 8 years old, but it starts off by saying he did right in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what the Sunday school lesson is all about.
So how had it gotten that bad?
It had gotten that bad because the kings of Israel and Judah, to a great degree, were afraid of other nations. They did not follow through when they went into Canaan and destroy those other nations, began to intermarry with them. And one of the ways in which they thought that they could, you know, solve their problems is by marrying them, and then the kings even marrying the daughters of other kings. Solomon had that problem. He had a whole bunch of wives. And so what we end up having here is when the wives came into the scene, they... Remember, Jezebel married Ahab, the king. She wanted to set up worship centers for her particular gods, Baal, etc., and that's what happened. And so during this time, the people were just rejecting the will of the Lord, And the Lord had made it pretty clear that that wasn't going to continue. But Josiah came on the scene when he was very, very young, and he began to do things when everything was getting so bad.
What does Josiah want to do with the temple in Jerusalem?
Yes, it's actually in his 18th year that he talks to Hilkiah, who is the high priest, and he tells him to count all the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, the temple, and which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And what does he want done with it? He doesn't want the money. No, he wants it be given into the hand of the workmen who have oversight over the house of the Lord, and they are to repair the temple. And that is carpenters, builders, masons, and he asks them to use the money to buy timber and quarried stone to repair the house. In fact, he was so confident that in their honesty that he did not want any accounting made for what they were going to be doing with the money in repairing the house. And it was during that time that the high priest Hilkiah, he found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And he gave it to the secretary, who was Shaphan, and he came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have oversight." And then he said, "But Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And then he goes ahead and reads from this book. And most scholars believe that the book he found was the book of Deuteronomy. And that was found in the temple, and he is now about to read it to Josiah.
So how does the king respond to both the finding and the reading of that book of the law?
You would think he would really be happy hearing Deuteronomy, because it talks about the victory that God had over the Egyptians and how he was taking them to the promised land. But there is also law and gospel throughout the whole scripture. And this is what I really like about the Enduring Faith Sunday School material. It's got one of my favorite verses from Romans 3, 19 and 20. It says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God." Now, the verse goes on to explain why you cannot be right with God through obedience to the law. It says, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in the sight of God, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." So we ought not be surprised in verse 11 of chapter 22 that when the king hears the words of the book of the law, he tears his clothes. And he says to the high priest, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found." Because what did he read? What did he hear? "For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." In fact, you may remember in Jeremiah, and Jesus quotes this when he goes into the temple, Jeremiah says, "This house of prayer that God had set up originally, you have now made," and the King James says it's a house of robbers, but the actual word used there, it's a house of murderers. It's the word used in regard to the two thieves on the cross with Jesus. They were murderers. Malefactors is another word for it. And they had totally destroyed the purpose of the temple, and people were using it to make money, to make themselves look good and to boast that they were saved by their works. But when Josiah hears this word from the Lord, he recognizes that he too is a sinner, and therefore he's in fear of the Lord because of what this book is saying.
So in effect, Josiah up to this point has done what is right in the sight of the Lord, but he's been largely ignorant of the scriptures. And having discovered what scripture actually says, he realizes that his people are in far worse condition than he had supposed.
Yes, this is what you have just said is very good because it has happened throughout the history of the church. Remember, the disciples of Jesus were really ignorant of law and gospel also, until finally the resurrection and Pentecost. They too consider themselves to be worthy to sit at the right and left hands of Jesus. They talked about children not being necessary for Jesus to talk to, and certain women that were bothering them, and this sort of thing. This has happened throughout the history of the church, and so it ought not be a surprise right now that many people who are leaving the church do not think they're that sinful that they need a Savior. They look around and look at other people and say, boy, I'm not any worse than anybody else, and I know people who are a lot worse than I am. And so that's kind of a good thing for the Sunday school children to understand, that the devil loves to put into our minds that we are better than others, and therefore we don't deserve the punishment they do, until we read God's word. And when we hear the law, well, Jesus is there, but he appears as a judge. And then when we hear the gospel, he appears as a Savior. And not to make that distinction between law and gospel means that people will be afraid to the point of their death that they're not sure they're going to go to heaven because they're under the delusion that going to heaven occurs because you follow the commandments of God, which is wrong.
The priests then inquire of a woman named Huldah, a prophetess, is this a sign how bad things had become religiously in Judah, that they have prophetesses along with all the other things that Josiah will later reform?
Well, I'm not sure the prophetess is something that needs reforming, because we have, even in the New Testament, women who are able to really share the word of God very well. Now, they cannot be pastors, and God has indicated that, but this particular woman was used by God to say something that I think is really, really helpful. So that she was a woman, I'm not sure is in and of itself a real problem, but she lives in Jerusalem. She's the wife of Shalom, and she's a keeper of the wardrobe. And she says this, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel." So this is a message that she has received. "Tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place," that's Jerusalem, "and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and my wrath will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him," she says, "the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent." That meant he was really in a state of repentance over his sins that he had heard the Lord speaking about, "and that he humbled himself before the Lord. Therefore, what you have heard me say," the woman is saying it from God, "against this place and against its inhabitants, that it shall become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I've heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will be bringing upon this place. So he got a promise that he would be taken to heaven prior to the time of the Babylonians coming to take Judah into exile. And this is a real lesson, I think, that can be helpful to the children. It certainly is something I'm speaking to adults. They take a look at the world. Religion appears to be falling apart. We've got a virus going around, and we're not sure how that's going to deal with church membership, etc. And yet the end of the world hasn't come yet. And I believe the Lord will take many of us to sleep before the worst happens at the end of the world, when he will finally come on the clouds to bring his people into an eternal life. So Christians have endured this kind of stuff since Adam and Eve. Remember, they were kicked out of the garden because of their disobedience against God. And then as you trace what happened to the people that God had chosen, Israel, how they fell away from the faith, why they weren't able to go into the promised land because they didn't think God could take care of them. Time and time again, God brings vengeance upon them, but he also brings mercy and grace. And so this story is very important for the children to understand that their lives can be like Josiah's, where they will not experience the worst that can happen before the end of the world.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll continue our conversation with him, teaching a Sunday school lesson on King Josiah in 2 Kings 22 on the other side of the break. We'll talk about the reforms that Josiah undertook. They were short-lived, but he did do his best to reform the religious life of his people. Stay tuned. Justification, the means of grace, the theology of the cross, Christology, vocation, living in two kingdoms, and worship. Dr. Gene Edward Veith covers each of these teachings in the new third edition of his book, The Spirituality of the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
As we struggle to look at the world from a Lutheran perspective, there are many things that would tempt us from seeking first the kingdom of God. The May issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about this. Titled, Seek First the Kingdom of God, it covers a wide range of learning how to get over our worries and fears and trust in Christ alone, to how to avoid the temptations and struggles of technology. To order your copy of the Lutheran Witness, visit cph.org/witness. You can also read more on witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618 223 8385, The Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. Pastor Tom Baker is leading us in a Sunday school lesson on King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22. This is Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A classical Lutheran school confesses and incorporates a commitment to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all aspects of its educational mission, as it is taught and confessed in the inspired sacred scriptures and in the confessional writings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Words from Pastor Stephen Kieser, headmaster of Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran School offers in-person and online classes for students pre-K through high school. Learn more about enrolling for the coming school year at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. Tom, after this incident in chapter 22, Josiah attempts some religious reforms. Describe those for us.
Yes, what he attempts to do is, because of his love for the temple and reading of this book that was found in the temple, he wants to get rid of any of the idolatry, and there was even idolatry in the temple. So one of the first things he does, and by the way, this is chapter 23, although it's not part of the Sunday school lesson, I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to read it, because it's on the basis of hearing the words of the Book of the Covenant that have been found in the house of the Lord that Josiah goes ahead to do what he's going to do. And the first thing he does, he commands Hilkiah, that's the high priest, and the priests of the second order, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that have been made for Baal, for Asherah. These are demonic demons and idols, and for all the host of heaven. People would worship the stars, etc. And he took them outside of Jerusalem and burned them in the fields of the Kidron, and carry their ashes to Bethel. And he also deposed the priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to make offerings in the high places to these idols. And he went all the way throughout the land, taking and breaking down, for example, the houses of the male cult prostitutes who were in the house of the Lord. He brought out all the priests out of the cities of Judah that had defiled the places where the priests had made offerings to idols. And this was interesting, verse 10. He defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, so that no one might burn his son or his daughter as an offering to Molech. You know, a lot of people wonder, why would God allow Israel to go into the land of Canaan and put to death these people? What were they doing so wrong? Well, Molech was one of their gods that they would sacrifice their own children to. And this was rampant throughout Canaan at the time. And so the altars he pulled down and he burned. He burned the various idols that were there. But then he does something, and this is interesting. One would think that when the Passover took place, that that had continued since its origination, that they celebrated the Passover all the time in the desert, etc. But when we read verse 21 of chapter 23, he commands all the people, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. It's found in there. But listen to verse 22. For no such Passover had been kept since the days of the judges who judged Israel, or during all the days of the kings of Israel, or the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, the Passover was kept to the Lord in Jerusalem. So that's where Jesus, of course, offered his body and blood. And so every time we kind of attend the Lord's Supper, that sacrament is really the final part of the Passover that was done in Egypt when the people were fleeing from the Egyptians. The other thing that's interesting, we did a little study on how a lot of these young people who are leaving the church are turning to tarot cards and other such things. And what Josiah did in verse 24, he put away the mediums and the necromancers and the household gods and all the abominations that were seen in the land. In fact, here's what verse 25 says about Josiah. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Because, of course, the Babylonians came and took them away. So this next part is really interesting, though, for Sunday school children. You would think, well, Josiah is not going to see the Babylonian captivity take place, and so you would imagine he would have a peaceful death. But in verses 27 and following, what happens is that the Pharaoh of Egypt goes up with the king of Assyria to go against Josiah and his people. And Josiah goes to meet the Pharaoh, and it says the Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo as soon as he saw him. And the servants carried Josiah dead in a chariot from there and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own tomb. So we children and adults need to realize that, yes, God is going to be taking care of us, but that doesn't mean that we will not be struggling against the world and we will be persecuted, as the Beatitudes speak about. Well, after the death of Josiah, the people took his son, Jehoahaz, and anointed him king. Now, he was 23 years old, and I'm only going to read one sentence about him. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And that's what led to the Babylonian captivity of Judah. But Josiah didn't see it, because that was a promise that God had made through the prophetess to him because of his humility and his wonderful work in making sure that worship was done according to the will of God.
With about 30 seconds here, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is that we wish we could have a burning bush where God can talk to us. And a lot of people think that that's what's happening when in their minds they're thinking, well, this is what God is saying to me. But this lesson is well done to show there's only one place now we can hear God. It's not in a burning bush. It's not in our conscience. It's in the Holy Scripture. And that's what the children need to come to understand and believe, where God speaks to them.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Pastor Brian Wolf Miller about the Ascension of Christ, a kind of unsung day for a long time in the church, but it's very important. We'll begin a series with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, author of our Book of the Month for May, The Spirituality of the Cross, third edition, and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul Lutheran School of Hamel, Illinois is the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're looking for a first and second grade teacher for the 2021-2022 school year. We pay 100% salary scale for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Other benefits include full health care coverage, retirement and disability, and continuing education assistance. We'll even cover your relocation fees. For more information, send an email to jeff@issuesetc.org.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.